Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So give us your top three teams right now in the NBA.
All right, number three, and I had to wrestle with this one because it's really a toss-up between these two teams, but ultimately I'm going to go with Boston still. I know they have not played well over the last month,
right,
but I'm going for their season-long body of work, and I think Jason Tatum's going to find his mojo once again. I just love their depth, and I think this is a team right now that's finding themselves a little bit out of rhythm. They've got to find it before you get into postseason, because if you have to play Philadelphia or something like that in the second round, they could go home early. So I'm still going to go with Boston with a slight nod over Philly for number three.
Did you hear that? Tim Legler on Get Up today. He's going Milwaukee over Boston. Fine, makes sense. He's going with Denver over Boston, which I don't agree with, but they have a better record. He said slightly over Philly, Mego. So the Celtics have fallen back for the first time at BetMGM anyway. The Bucks are now the favorite to win the title. Plus 350, plus 360, something like that. I saw it last night. It's the first time all year BetMGM upgraded the Bucks as the favorite. The Celtics are backsliding. And Jaylen Brown's at the heart of it with his comments to The Ringer, which we've been working our way through here in the first hour of Jones and Mego with Arkin. We'll continue to do that with you guys on the phones at 617-779-7937. Coming up 1/2 hour from now, a little less than that, actually, maybe more like 25 minutes from now, we're going to talk to Andrew Raycroft of NESN, as we do each and every Tuesday at 3:30. And if you miss any of our interviews with Jones and Mego with Arkin, you can go listen on the podcast. Just subscribe to the show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
One night in Kingston, Ontario for the Kingston Frontenac.
We got to ask him about if he's ever had another goalie feed him food during an interview. Have you ever had another goalie feed you? Is one thing we got to ask him. When Razor joins us coming up again in about 25 minutes. Celtics are playing the Kings tonight in Sacramento. These Sabonis triple-double watches on. It's one of many things that you can wager on out there. And mobile sports betting is here in Massachusetts. Before you place that bet, what you need to do is check out BetQL. BetQL gives you the best sign-up offers from each of the sports books to make sure your money goes further. Just text BET to 37937 for a link to a special page for Massachusetts bettors. That's BET to 37937. Message and data rates may apply. Before we get to these phone calls,
I think I know a little someone back here who may have some action.
I think Ryan is all in on
that double, yeah.
On the ox,
not me.
The ox and the fox, I think, is what he's in.
We're going to see on, what's today, the 21st of March, we will see the best duo in the NBA.
And just think about it.
If you can stay up until 10 past.
This is the one actual challenging game they have on the whole trip.
Right.
And if they don't win it, they're going to be 500 on this trip when we all said they got to win 4 or 5.
Sacramento played last night. They also lost to Utah.
I saw. Not good.
Walker Kessler is a force of nature. I don't think the world is ready for.
So,
but yeah, I got plus 340 Domantas Sabonis and
nice.
A triple-double
so
tonight.
So get in on that. You can shop at BetQL to see what their odds are. Just quickly, I want to reset what I think is the biggest thing in the story, personally, with Jaylen Brown of The Ringer, his second interview in a week. When asked if he wants to stay in Boston long-term, he's non-committal, which tells you everything right there. If he wants to stay here, he'd tell you he wants to stay here. He'd at least lie like Kyrie if he thought he was going to stay. But instead, he's non-committal. I don't know. As long as I'm needed, it's not up to me. Which, that's definitely a lie. It's totally up to you. It's up to the players in the NBA, which I think is a good thing.
I plan on resigning here next year.
Boom! Okay.
Whoa!
It's not up to me. Yes, it is. We'll see how they feel about me over time, and I feel about them over time. So he doesn't know. That's not a good sign. Hopefully, whatever it is, it makes sense, but I'll stay where I'm wanted. I'll stay where I'm needed and treated correct. When asked about playing with Tatum, Brown said he's keeping his focus on the immediate future. Quote, I just enjoy the time that you have now. If it's your whole career, great, it's your whole career. If it's not, it's not. Some of the greatest players of all time haven't finished with their organization. He goes here, Mego. Michael Jordan retired a Wizard. As much as we like it here and enjoy being here, you see where life takes you. You see how the process goes. All you do is focus on what's in front of you right now, to be honest. But I don't really know or want to answer that question because that type of stuff makes Celtics fans speculate and go crazy. especially right now. I'll just say we'll get there when we get there. And right now is in January when this interview took place.
We're speculating. We're going crazy.
Yep.
But do you read anything into him saying, no, we like it here?
Yeah. You think that's about Tatum or about all the players? I think it's about Tatum.
We like it here. Like, he's speaking on behalf of the Stars. Because, by the way, there is one more little piece of this that we haven't gotten to that I wanted to highlight. He talks about his own leadership in this. He says, I've grown up a lot. I've learned a lot. I've experienced a lot. I've been able to travel the world, study different cultures, meet different people, which has made me, I feel like, a more experienced human being. I still feel kind of like that same kid on the inside, but for now, I'm definitely moving along on the journey. Then he says, expletive.
This line stood out
to me,
too.
Shoot, basically. I'm the leader of this team. I'm one of the faces of the franchise, trying to be a global representation or an ambassador for our league and trying to bring people together.
I thought that was noteworthy, too. You're the leader of the team?
The leader of this team.
Agree or disagree, Mego?
I don't know anymore.
He's not the leader. It's no.
I don't know.
He's not.
Who's the leader?
Tatum.
Tatum. Who's the leader?
Tatum.
Who's the leader? No, you know who the leader was?
Tatum.
The leader was Ime Udoka. Now they're leaderless.
No.
They're leaderless.
No. No. You're led by the best player on the team, always.
Jalen thinks he's the leader.
If Jalen wants to be
a
leader.
He thinks Marcus Smart is his deputy,
it's
his second in command, lieutenant.
No.
You got Lieutenant Smart, and you got General Jalen, and I don't know where Tatum fits in.
No, here's the problem. This is always the problem with the Celtics. Tatum wants to be the leader. Jalen wants to be the leader.
You
Marcus
said Tatum
Smart wants
is
to,
the leader.
Marcus Smart wants to be the leader. They all think they're the leader. The only way, Jalen, you're ever going to be the leader of a team is if you go somewhere else and get your own team.
Don't do that.
I thought that was a red flaggy comment, too. That one also stood out to me.
In my view,
thank you for highlighting.
We have 25 individual leaders.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Not the way it works. Everybody thinks they're a leader on this team.
Who's the leader?
It's part of the leader has to be Tatum. It has to be your best player. It has to be. And
do you think he wants to be? Jason Tatum carry himself like he wants to be the leader?
No, I think that's one of the problems.
There's a leadership void on this
team. He doesn't want to be. He has to be. And that is another problem with this team. But the biggest problem right now is that Jalen doesn't want to be here. John's in New Hampshire. Go ahead, John.
John? Bye, John.
Bye, John. Let's go to Phil up in Maine. Go ahead, Phil.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
So, you know, I understand that Brown would be frustrated. As a player, you get that because they kept throwing his name out in trade, especially when you have Durant. And I can understand him being frustrated. I think we all can. At the same time, they weren't just throwing your name out there to trade you for, like, Kelly Olynyk or Michael or Westbrook there. It was for Kevin Durant, who was arguably one of the best players in the NBA.
Okay, so Phil, that's one of them, and I would let him go longer, but his phone is tough there. But I generally agree
with... It's a windy one up there, yep.
yep. Wind's blowing right off the Saco River up there, yep. Really, throwing my truck all over the road there, yep. But when it comes to the trade rumors, that's not totally true. And I've been a little weaselly with this, too. I'm like, well, you're in trades for Anthony Davis.
What?
And you're in trade rumors for Kevin Durant. I know, shocking that I could be weaselly about this stuff. But he was in trade rumors for Westbrook and James Harden and Arcan's guy, Ben Simmons. And, like, he has been in trade rumors for lesser players. So it wasn't just Durant. That's not accurate.
I don't know if James Harden was a lesser player at the time when that was being talked about.
No, but now in retrospect, I wanted that trade to happen at the time. Like, again, I have traded Jalen 100 times since he's come into the league. I traded him on draft night, for God's sakes, for Jimmy Butler. So, like, I've traded him a bunch, and I've been wrong on some of them. I wanted James Harden for Jalen. That would have been an awful deal if they did it. We'd rip Danny Ainge and the Celtics for doing it. So good thing they didn't listen to me on that one. But some I'd still do. And Durant, I still think, is a no-brainer.
So I'm probably being naive. I'm curious what you guys think. Is there ever a place where the second-best guy on the team is mostly safe from trade rumors? Is there ever an instance?
Good question.
Because the only one that really jumps out at me that I can think about consistently is Golden State. And that just seems like a special case.
Yep.
It almost seems like an exception.
Yeah, when you win 4 titles.
Right.
Like, why are you going to screw with that?
Right. I mean, I'd say my answer to that largely is no. There's probably some exceptions, but largely no. Which is why, again, the city stuff, I think Jalen has a good case on. And we've talked about that before. And if you want to go look up what we're talking about, either reference, you know, past shows that we've done, you know, the podcast from this show, or go look up the New York Times interview. But his issues with the city, I think, are valid. His issues on the court, I think, are less valid. Like, don't trade me. I want to take the last shot. Well, you're the second best player. You're going to be in trade rumors because they're trying to make fits around Tatum, not you. And Tatum's going to get the last shot. He's the better player on the team. That's the way it works. So I don't know what the Celtics are supposed to do about that. Trade him earlier. Because I wonder if they missed a window to trade him. And that's part of my fear with these comments coming out now. Dennis is in Roslindale. Go ahead, Dennis. Hello?
Dennis.
Okay.
The Dennis system not working.
Eddie's in the car. Go ahead, Eddie.
Hey, I can definitely handle this. How are you?
Good.
Hey, you know, I like Jaylen. I do like Jaylen Brown. And the one thing I do like about him, and give him credit for at least saying something, because at least he has a pulse. Sometimes I wonder if Jason has any heart at all. Now, you say he's the best player. I'll tell you what. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'd take Brown because I love the kid's passion. I think he's a winner. I just do.
Okay, so that's one thing I prefer with Jaylen Brown over Tatum. The whole package, Tatum's better. I'm not trading Jason Tatum, but I do like the way Jaylen comports himself more than Tatum. I do. I do like that about him. Especially, like, the NBA Finals was the best example of it, Mego, where everybody else was, like, trying to be buddy-buddy with Steph Curry and was getting bitched around by Draymond Green, and Jaylen was, like, the one guy who stood up to them.
Yeah.
He was the one guy. So that I like about Jaylen. But even though I like that, there's a lot of things I like about Jaylen. But even though I like that about him, that doesn't mean I trade Tatum to make it Jaylen's team. I think that's a horrible, horrible, horrible idea.
How much of how Jaylen is able to carry himself in the league and within the team is not being the all-star superstar? You know what I'm saying? Like, Tatum is in a more difficult position than Jaylen is in terms of the constant expectations
and
criticism.
So, in other words, if Jaylen were in Tatum's spot and he was the best player on the team, could he carry himself the same way? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and maybe he would. I mean, maybe he certainly has a different personality than Tatum does.
Yep.
It's funny. I mean, one of my favorite, I don't have the direct quote in front of me, but one of my favorite pieces from this Ringer story was kind of like Jaylen saying, I don't know why people seek me out to talk about all this stuff. And it's
I don't know.
Maybe because, you know, to your credit, you're using your platform endlessly for it. But it's like, I don't know why they're looking for me. It's like me sitting here being like, I don't know why people think I like to talk.
Why is everybody always asking me about my husky? Huh? What's up with that? Why is everybody always asking me about my dog? 617-779-7937. There's more.
He might be different if he was in Tatum's position.
No, I'd never thought about it that way, but it's a good question. And so I don't know the answer. My guess is he would carry himself the same way, but I don't know. There's more in this story. We haven't even gotten to what he had to say about Kyrie Irving, what he had to say about Kanye West. We can do that with all your phone calls after trending with Christian Arcan.
I'm the leader of this team.
You're the leader of the team?
The leader of this team.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We are back to Jones and Mego on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Jones, Mego, and Arcan taking you up until 6 on a Tuesday with your phone calls, 617-779-7937. We're going to talk to the Razor. Andrew Raycroft, 7 minutes from now. We talk to him every Tuesday at 3:30. If you miss any interviews with Andrew Raycroft or anybody else, you can go back and listen to the podcast anytime. Subscribe to Jones and Mego with Arcan on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. In the meantime, what do we say we knock out some Jaylen Brown phone calls here? Unless, Mego, you want to address anything else. What have we missed? We haven't hit on the Kanye or Kyrie comments yet. You want to do that or take some calls?
Let's take some calls.
Okay. Dennis is in Roslindale. Go ahead, Dennis.
Hey, guys. How you all doing?
Excellent.
I think we got the best 1-2 punch right now going on. You guys are going to keep on spreading the narrative, and you're going to get Jaylen to take his ball and run, man.
Well, hang on. Just Dennis.
We got to find a way.
Dennis, real quick, I don't disagree. They might have the best duo in the NBA. Like, it's not my pick, but when we did this before, I gave them a top 2 or 3 duo. I can't remember where I put them. I'm not spreading this narrative. Jaylen can say no to these interviews. Like, Jaylen's the one doing this narrative. I'm not making it up out of thin air. He's done 2 interviews in a week, or 2 interviews have been released in a week.
What would our win total be if Jaylen was gone in the beginning of the year?
Say it again.
If he was on at the beginning of the year, what would have a win? And we got KD, which everybody wants KD. I don't know why we saw high on KD. He's a good player, but he can't stay on the court.
Fair. He can't stay on the court. True. And Jalen's been playing great. What would the win total be? Maybe less. Maybe less. I think they might be trending in the right direction, though. I think they might be going in the right direction because Jalen's not happy. Jalen hasn't been happy, and I think the team's funk coincides with that, right? Like, he was talking in January. That's right when they were starting to backslide, and it's only gotten worse. They have not been good since December. We've been talking about this pretty much since this show started. They started 18-4, 21-5. They haven't really been good since then. And so, look, your number two player is unhappy. That can rip apart a team.
See,
we've seen that a million times in a million different sports. That can rip a team apart, and I think that's what's going on.
I'm going to flip this for you.
Flip.
And I think you're going to like it.
Oh, good.
Because you're acting like the way you're espousing this is that Jalen is the reason or a primary reason for the dysfunction.
He might have some valid reasons for being unhappy, but his unhappiness is at the root of it, yes.
Who on this team is happy right now?
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't think
really?
Many people.
Blake Griffin and the Bus One Boys.
Exactly.
They're singing songs.
Blake Griffin and Luke Kornet are happy. I don't think that Jalen is the reason for dysfunction. He's just another unhappy player in this dysfunctional locker room.
Okay.
Which I don't know how we got here so quickly because these remarks are from January. So this isn't just the slide post All-Star break. This is something that's been funky around the team for months at least.
It is
a good point. You got Jason Tatum with no confidence right now, looks checked out, tired, wants to get to the playoffs so we can just get back to the finals. You got Grant Williams, no confidence.
Nope.
Completely lost situationally.
In the doghouse.
Probably just completely pissed off about the way that his contract year is going. You got Jaylen Brown talking to two different national outlets about all of his challenges. Marcus Smart has looked terrible since coming back from his injury.
He's
can't imagine
happy.
That he's happy. Rob Williams hasn't even been in the mix.
Pissed at the training staff.
I guess you can throw Al Horford in with the Bus One Boys.
Yep.
Al Horford and Derek White will never say anything against anyone.
But Derek White? Can Derek White be happy he's not closing? No. Peyton Pritchard's pissed about his situation.
I mean, really?
Grant walks a contract. Rob Williams is pissed at the training staff. Jalen hates the city. Marcus Smart's never happy. It's like Malcolm Brogdon's
But that's where I say.
Malcolm Brogdon's been killing coaches since he got into the league. He probably hates something here. So, like, nobody's happy. You're right. The whole thing's dysfunctional.
Everybody's pissed off, and they're unhappy, and they're just being a bunch of Joneses in the locker room. Everyone's just turning to each other. Meh, 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 meh. And there's no one there. There's no one there to say, hey, shut up.
Yep. Yeah.
Just stop.
Tatum just kind of sits there quietly and is like, come on, guys. Come
Pretty
on.
Much.
Come on, guys. We got another game to play. Don't get too emotional.
And
don't get too up
and
too down.
And you know what's happening? Like Jalen and Smart across the room are like rolling their eyes at each other being like, oh, God.
Jalen Brown, by the way, has missed 12 games this year. The Celtics are 9-3 without him this season.
Interesting. When's Jalen going to talk, by the way? I meant to ask this earlier. He didn't talk after the Utah game. They've been shooting around the last couple of days. Hasn't talked, right? Is he going to talk tonight? What? Like, he's going to get asked all these questions about the New York Times interview and the Ringer interview. So when's he going to talk? I'm curious about that. And I'm curious about what he has to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
John is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, John.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So I just think it's a cult right now. And so it looks like a colossal failure by both Brad Stevens and Wick Grosbeck. Because everything we're talking about here, I've been listening for the last hour, is everybody's unhappy. There's nothing that's going right. And it really starts with the head coach of a team. But I don't know how they decided to take on Jason Tatum's buddy, Joe Mazzulla, and just toss Udoka to the side. We have no idea what even happened there. They haven't clued anybody in on it, even though Brad Stevens is up there crying about it when it first happened. Nobody knows what happened there.
Well, so, John, we don't know. And I honestly think that's fine that we don't know. Do the players know?
Sounds like it.
I think Jalen knows.
Well, and how did he find out?
Because he asked Coach Udoka about it.
No. He hasn't talked to Udoka.
That's a hard time believing
that since he left.
When in the same interview that we've been talking about for the last hour, he likes direct approach and he FaceTimes three-way calls with Brad Stevens and Jason Tatum. I 100% believe he would reach out to Ime Udoka and cut out the middleman and go, what the heck happened, man?
It is interesting. Keith is in the South End. Go ahead, Keith.
Yeah, I was just going to touch on that
Jalen not being or being disgruntled, had somebody who got these guys playing good in 2 weeks due to off-court issues that could have been handled behind doors. And that's what, you know, the guys had bonded with this guy. They're about to do pot too. And that's the disgruntled part, but nobody can address it because of, you know, it has nothing to do with basketball. It was just something to do with off-court issues.
Yeah, so I do wonder now, again, where the players are at. Like, even Tatum, who I think is pro-Missoula, I think that's why Missoula got the job. That's what I think. I think even Tatum is like, what are we doing with Missoula? I miss Ime Udoka. He said at the All-Star break, Ime was my favorite coach. That's what he said. More than Brad, more than Missoula. And he's like, you know, that's not a shot at anybody else. No, 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 it's a shot at other people. You miss Ime. So I do wonder how much of that is a factor. I know Mego's been talking about that. We'll continue to get to your phone calls here at 617-779-7937. But let's move from a dysfunctional team to a much more functional team. Let's move from a team where I am not on the bandwagon anymore. I told you the Celtics aren't winning this year. To a team that everybody knows I'm firmly on the bandwagon with. Your Boston Bruins. And Andrew Raycroft joins us on the Harbor One Hotline as he does each and every Tuesday at 3:30. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, bringing people together around the joys of food, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow, and by Frank's Red Hot. Visit franksredhot.com for great hockey and football watching recipes. Let's Frank it up. Razor, what's going on this week?
Not much. How's everyone making out? It's spring playoff hockey weather today. It's nice.
Well, I have a feeling we're going to be watching a lot more spring playoff hockey than spring playoff basketball here in this city. I want to start off by asking a question I pledged to ask earlier in the show. And I don't know if you saw Ullmark and Swayman the other day after Swayman had back-to-back shutouts. And Ullmark was feeding him wings and somebody else stepped in and gave him a slice of pizza. Have you ever had a teammate and specifically another goalie feed you? That's what I want to know.
No, I don't recall getting fed chicken wings. Certainly not in the dressing room postgame, but it is the best part of Buffalo and playing in Buffalo is that there is always some wings kicking around the room afterwards, and the pizza's pretty good too. So
Oh, I was gonna say, can I tell you the craziest part about that? Swayman, not even that he got fed, crazy. Swayman declined blue cheese. Hey, Ullmark asked him if he wanted blue cheese, and he said, "No, I'm good." I said, "What? What? That's sneaky." The craziest part about that video.
That's not crazy. Blue cheese is disgusting.
Oh, come on.
Wow, come on. No. Yeah, I agree with you, Jones.
Thank you.
Which is shocking to say.
No. We share a hockey brain. We do.
Yeah, we do.
Yes.
But that is a little bit psychotic not to have blue cheese with it.
Blue cheese is gross.
Something
that Jim Montgomery has been asked about recently is the possibility of rotating goalies through the playoffs. He said that he didn't anticipate doing it, but it was something that he has thought about. As a former goalie, do you think there's a scenario in which a planned rotation could work towards the Bruins' benefit in the playoffs?
No, I don't see a planned rotation. I can see how a rotation or I can see how using both goaltenders is an advantage and can be used at certain times in different series. But I maybe I'm still old school. Maybe there's some way that analytics can change my mind, but I just think that come playoff time, you want to have a guy feeling really good about himself and a guy who's rolling with the team. And that momentum, I think, as a goaltender does play into it day to day.
Razor, I just saw Montgomery said that Derek Forbert's going to be out the rest of the regular season. We haven't talked much about him with you this year. I find him a very polarizing player on this team. There's fans who love him and think he's really underrated and a lot of people who don't want him on the ice a lot of the time. Where do you stand on Forbert and how much are they going to miss him?
Well, I think they're going to miss him a bunch. Well, let's say if he goes into the playoffs and he's not playing, they're going to really miss him. You look at the numbers on what this team is on the penalty kill with him and without him. It's very noticeable and it's stark. It's tangible. As a former goalie, I recognize how much those guys mean to teams, blocking shots, penalty killing, the little things. The polarizing part, I guess, is if you're comparing him to Matt Grizzly. And obviously he doesn't skate the same. And like, they're not the same player. They do different things. They have different roles. I think what Derek Forbert's role isn't matched by anyone else on the Bruins right now. and how good he is on the PK on day one of the Stanley Cup playoffs, I think is really important to this team as it goes and tries to win 16 of them.
We're talking to Andrew Raycroft, as we do each and every Tuesday here on Jones and Mego with Arcand. I want to ask you, Razor, you mentioned the rotation, and maybe you could be convinced on a rotation at goaltender, but you're old school and they got to go with a guy. Is it an open competition down the stretch, the way Swayman's been playing versus the way Ullmark's been playing? Not that there's been a big drop, but, you know, the game in Chicago was shaky. He had a couple of goals disallowed in the Minnesota game, and Swayman's coming off back-to-back shutouts. Swayman's been good for a long chunk of time, really going back to the turn of the new year. Is it a competition down the stretch, or is it definitely Ullmark getting game one and Swayman can't convince the team and the coaching staff otherwise?
Well, I got to imagine it's Ullmark. There's always competition, though. Like, if Jeremy Swayman doesn't give up a goal in the next seven games that he plays to end the regular season and Ullmark gives up eight in the next seven games he plays, sure, that change. I think as we sit here right now, and that's all we can really do, is even with Jeremy Swayman having back-to-back shutouts and playing really well in those games, if today was the first day of the playoffs, you're starting Linus Ullmark with what he's done. He's 33 or 30. I can't even remember what he's up to now. 34, 4, and 1. I mean, it's nuts. So no, Linus Ullmark's a starter, but you feel really, really good having Jeremy Swayman as the second guy who can play any minutes, and then the team's going to feel comfortable if anything happens to Linus, whether it's performance or health-wise.
He's 34, 5, and 1, by the way. I don't know if that changes your mind, that extra loss. I don't know if that changes your mind.
Yeah, well, in that case, let's make it a call.
Yeah, okay, good.
So, Razor, Bruins were hitting a couple bumps last week, especially that awful game against the Blackhawks. And some of the guys admitted to being a little burnt out on the regular season. With the season that they have left going into the playoffs, how do they maintain a balance between, I guess, saving something for the playoffs and staying engaged enough that it's not something where they go into the playoffs rusty or having to flip a switch or anything like that?
Well, you can do both. You saw the game Sunday. I mean, it helps when you win 7-0, but even that, Patrice Bergeron played 11 minutes on Sunday. That's a night off. And it's actually better than a night off because you score a goal and you just hang out the rest of the night. Like, that's better than sitting on the ninth floor. So
sweet.
They're going to find lots of rest for the guys. But I think we saw, and this is what gives me as much faith as anything in this team, is the two times that this historic season has come off the rails a little bit for 5, 6, 7 days, they are very aware. They're very good at being honest with themselves and taking accountability and turning that proverbial switch. And it's not really a switch, but it's okay, let's get back to our game. We know exactly how to do that, and we're going to focus on doing that. And I think that's what I saw this week. Their ability to turn it around as quickly as they did by just getting everyone's attention with one meeting and getting back to their game shows the talent they have, but also their understanding of what makes them good.
Also, Jim Montgomery kind of blew up at him the second time. He didn't the first time. He sort of was like, yeah, you know, we're good. Everything's fine. We'll keep these games going. This time around, he was a little testier, and it was uncharacteristic. I think we all were kind of taken aback by it. Do you think this team responded to him?
Yes, they did. And I think he's built up enough goodwill with his communication coming in right from the start in August. I think we saw all of that culminate after the game in Chicago, watching on, you know, being in the Nesson studio saying, oh, that's different. That's Jim Montgomery annoyed at his best right there. And it was something that we were looking for, how they were going to respond, how the team would handle it. And I think it went really well. And I think that Jim has proven that he has a very good handle on this team and he has the trust of the players.
What's the difference between the way he sort of blows up and maybe the way Cassidy used to blow up at his players post-game in the past?
Well, I think Bruce Cassidy's way of handling it some nights where, well, we needed another save from the goaltender. Well, we needed one more play from our power play. It was just after six seasons, don't forget, too. So let's give Jim Montgomery 6 years of this and see where that's at. But after six seasons of and some big games, after a playoff game saying, our goalie needed to make another save, I think that can be somewhat frustrating from players' point of view if that's not the same communication that's happening in the dressing room. So it's much different in that it's newer, much, much newer. But also, I think there's been a lot more conversating behind closed doors until before the media hears about it, rather than maybe the opposite at certain times with Bruce Cassidy.
Razor, real quick before we let you go. There's three teams I think the Bruins could reasonably play, unless I'm missing something. The Islanders, the Panthers, and the Penguins in the opening round of the playoffs. I'm sure it probably doesn't matter, like, the way the Bruins are playing. But is there a team out of that group, again, the Islanders, Panthers, and Penguins, that you would prefer to avoid?
Well, right now, Florida's the hottest. Florida's the one that's coming up, and Florida's the one that won the President's Trophy last season. I don't know if they have the defensive structure, and I don't think it matters, I guess, but that's the team right now that would be the most dangerous from my point of view, especially if they continue this way over the next couple weeks. Pittsburgh is really looking frustrated. That looks like a team. Their goaltending's been really, really bad, so that is probably the best of those three, and then the Islanders are just in between, where I don't think they can score enough goals, but they do have a good goaltender. It's not an easy out in the first, but I would say to answer your question directly, and is Florida is the hottest team. I think they're the toughest if you're playing them tomorrow.
All right, he's Andrew Raycroft. Check him out on Nesson and Razor. We'll talk to you next week.
Awesome, sounds good. Thanks.
All right, Andrew Raycroft, as all our guests, joins us on the Harbor One Hotline. We'll get back into your phone calls, 617-779-7937. It's how you get in touch with Jones and Mego with Arcan. And we have our triple play each and every day at 1:45 next.
Jones and Mego return after this on WEEI.
It's going to be a triple play.
It's time for the triple play.
Yes, triple play.
The top three burning questions of the day.
And there's three.
With Jones and Mego.
Triples is best. Triples is best.
Triples is best, and it's time for a triple play over-under Tuesday. Where we'll give you three over-unders. Let's start with our first one.
Number one.
All right, Bruins and the Senators play tonight. Bruins scored 7 goals against Buffalo. The over-under, according to FanDuel, tonight is 6.5 goals combined between the two teams. Over-under 6.5 goals, Jones.
I'll go over. Allmark, I'm assuming, is starting this game, not only because because Swayman played in the last game, but because I think they want him lined up for Tampa this weekend. So I'm assuming Allmark starts tonight. I don't know if that's been confirmed anywhere, but I'm assuming he gets the start.
He's first one off the ice of practice.
Okay, good. So he's probably starting the game tonight. He's been shaky. He stunk against Chicago, and as I told you, he gave up 4 goals against Minnesota. Only 2 counted, but he still gave up the other 2. They were disallowed for offsides. Like, it's not like they were, you know, he didn't get beat on the shot. They were all zone entries where you have to go back and look at the thing. So, to me, he's been shaky. And furthermore, Ottawa's been a tough matchup for them. Ottawa's been a difficult matchup for them. They beat them early on in the season.
They put up 7 goals on them.
So I think it goes over, and I forget who was in net for that game, but I think it goes over because Ottawa's been a tough match and Allmark's been shaky. Over.
I agree. I did my homework on this, and the Senators are averaging 3 goals a game this month. Bruins are averaging just over 4 goals a game this month. Together, that's 7 goals, which is greater than 6.5, the line. So for that reason, I'm taking the over.
Nice. It's a mathematical lock.
It's a mathematical lock. This is math. You can't argue with numbers.
Can't possibly be wrong. And you know me, I've been big on the unders here lately, Arcan. I've been big on the unders, but I'll take the over.
By the way, Jeremy Swayman started that game when they gave up seven goals. Yes. It was not a good day.
I do remember the game, but that ruins my
6 goals allowed, and then Linus came in and gave up 1. Also, Ottawa played last night. They beat the Penguins 2-1.
Watch Celtics out, Carmine. We got Mego, by the way.
Celtics and Bruins they're both sitting there waiting.
Who's on the road?
No, where are the Bruins tonight? Bruins are home?
Bruins are home, yeah.
I'm sorry. So not both on the road, but they're both sitting there waiting for a team on the second night of a back-to-back?
Yes.
Conspiracy.
Also, Carmine was the Red Sox computer.
That was their...
They got all their data.
Proprietary computer program.
Math is overrated.
Indeed. And then they got a human version in High and Bloom.
Yes.
All right, let's go to our second triple play. Here it is.
Number 2.
All right, Cam Newton is throwing at Auburn's Pro Day today, and he said that there's no way there's 32 quarterbacks in the NFL who are better than him. So here's the number of quarterbacks currently in the NFL who are better than Cam Newton. The over-under is 47.5 quarterbacks. Megan, what do you think?
32 guys better than me.
I'm taking the over. Because I'm not even sure he can be a backup at this point. Like, if you had asked me a year and a half ago, yes, he can go be a backup somewhere else. But as we saw with Deshaun Watson, when you're out of the game for a little while, it falls off really fast. Cam Newton's older. He had a horrible, throwing mechanics towards the end here. Just like inexplicably bad. So I'm going to go with, yeah, he doesn't even really have a spot as a backup anymore.
So I need to do this with Cam. I loved prime of his career, Cam Newton. And I actually loved the Patriots signing Cam because I thought he had more left in the tank than he did. So look, you know I'm team feet. Cam Newton was, you know, the leader of team feet for a long time, okay? So I loved Cam Newton in his prime. I think he was a really, really good player. I think he gets shortchanged as a thrower and everything else from earlier in his career, okay? So get that out of the way. He's done. He's cooked. He's cashed. Over 47 and a half. Did you guys watch the video? Like his highlight video? You know,
first throw.
Oh, my God, the first.
Tell me how these randoms keep getting jobs.
Okay, I'll tell you. I'll tell you. Watch the windup on the first throw, Cam. Watch the windup. He, like, put his whole body into, like, a 50-yard throw.
Tebow-esque.
And it was, like, straight up in the air. It was Tebow-esque. I mean, it was, like, I watched it, and I'm like, oh, my God. He put his, he was just, like,
like a shot putter.
Yes, it was like a shot. It was his whole body into the throw. And did you notice in that video, and if you haven't seen it, go check it out. How many highlights of just the, not Cam throwing, how many highlights of just the receiver catching it there were? The whole, like, I bet 4 out of every 5 highlights they showed was just the receiver catching it. Not Cam's throw, not his motion, because he can't throw anymore, and he has to put his whole body into every single throw because he's cooked. That's not an indictment on Cam and his career. That's an indictment on where he's at. He shouldn't be in the league. He's not in the league over 47.
Look, if your wide receiver goes to that pro day and he looks good, catching balls from Cam Newton, you bring him in, you never let him go. That kid will be special.
Got something special there.
It's a good point. Sure. That guy, if he's catching those those hospital balls, you want him in the league. That's true.
I liked how Cam Newton had that first receiver like readjusting his route like 4 times on an empty field. Like that was something else. All right, let's get to our third question in the triple play.
Number 3.
As we found out yesterday, I like to keep a lot of napkins in my car. The question now is the number of napkins currently in my car. The over-under is 10 and a half napkins. Jones, what do you think?
Over. You're a hoarder. Over.
40! Yeah, I'm taking the over, absolutely, because you told us that any time that you take napkins, it's not like you're taking like 3 or 4 napkins mm-hmm. for one sandwich that you're walking out of Subway with. You're taking like a stack.
Okay, so what I love about this question is this is one where we actually get the answer like that's immediately. Right. I don't have to wait for the goals tonight. I don't have to. We're never going to get the answer
like
on Cam.
Yeah.
But I'll say this: he brought his food from home for lunch today.
Yep.
Because have you ever seen our canned sandwiches? By the way,
no.
Okay, because
I know he's always got something in there, but I've
never. I sit next to our can while he eats lunch most days as we're prepping the show, mm-hmm. and he's got these. I'll say these sandwiches are intense. Like for a homemade sandwich.
Oh, they're home. That's what I was just going to ask.
Yeah. If I make a homemade sandwich, like I'm probably making, you know, you got the bread, you got some turkey, got some Dijon.
Yep.
Got sure. a little more turkey, got a little cheese, got a little cheese on it.
Yep.
And that's pretty much it.
Okay. But is there, you don't do the middle piece of bread, do you?
No.
It's not like a double stack sandwich.
Do you know what he does? He'll have like...
Potato chips?
He'll have the bread.
Yep.
He'll have one meat. Like he'll have like a salam.
Yep.
Like a salami. And then he'll have on top of it like a prosciutto. A prosciutto top of it.
You double up on the meats.
And then he'll have like a ham or a bologged.
Nice.
And then there's
on top
cheese,
of that.
Course.
And then he has a cheese. Yep. And then he has like... These are tall sandwiches.
You ever seen those like big Reubens at like a Jewish deli?
Yeah,
that are, like 10 feet tall. Like. That's the type of sandwich.
I kept asking him. I'm like, you make these sandwiches every day for yourself? Sometimes there's a pepperoni in it.
Nice.
I'm very impressed.
It's a nice nitrate sandwich. I love my nitrates. Don't get me wrong. I had myself a nice Reuben Arkham. We were at the BetMGM Sportsbook. That's what I woofed down.
You guys are both wrong, by the way, because if you noticed, I've
you
been
know why
bringing
we're
sandwiches in.
So, well, no, Mego said under.
Oh, you said under? Then you're right.
I thought you said because...
I thought you both said over.
I was reversing my stance because I noticed you that you've been bringing in your big
sandwiches. And that's why she's right. There are currently seven napkins in my car.
That's not why.
There's seven napkins in my car because I haven't gone out to eat in a while and I haven't stolen a bunch of napkins. That's why.
I know why, because now he's self-conscious that we called him out about all the napkins in his car.
I don't care about you, what you think about my napkins.
Well, now all of a sudden you only have seven napkins in your car?
It's because I haven't been out to steal some in a while.
Self-conscious. But let me tell you, I have never seen... People are always against all of my... Anything I say, people are against what I have to say. I have never seen people line up to simp for Arcan. Like, they lined up and simped for Arcan with his napkin defense. The Twitch chat, who he's... Look, he's like, giving them, like, a little secret point back there.
Yeah, what is that?
The Twitch chat.
I'm with them. They're
the text
with me.
Line.
This is a pro napkin show.
You guys know
show.
Nothing about
Carmine's
it.
On your side.
I had buddies of mine texting me. Oh, you have friends, Jones? Yeah, like two. Yeah, they were texting me yesterday during the show.
And
like,
they'd both rather be my friend.
Jones, you don't have napkins in your car? Arcan's right about this. Like, I've never seen so many people line up and simp for Arcan about the napkins in his car. Never seen it.
It's not so much that I'm weird. It's that you guys are weird for not having napkins in your car. That's the weird thing.
I don't think so.
You have a child. You don't have napkins in your car. That's weird.
I have wipes in my car.
Yeah. Sometimes I keep Clorox wipes in my car.
Well, in case you poop yourself?
No. Okay, why would I wipe my butt with Clorox wipes? That sounds...
Why not?
...painful.
That sounds very clean.
Get you clean.
Yeah.
Arcan, the master of female anatomy.
That's right.
I had always contemplated bleaching down there. That's a way to get that done.
Simpin for days for Christian's napkin fetish.
Thank you. Thank you, Carmine.
Everybody loves sandwiches, so...
Yeah, that's true.
I also use a lot of napkins. You know, I use them a lot. So I gotta re-up on my napkin.
There was I retweeted it yesterday at Jones WEI. There was photographic evidence of all the napkins he takes. You were like woofing a slice of pizza at the garden or something like that somebody sent to us. Did you not see this?
Oh, yes, right. My friend, who's not my friend anymore now because he's taking pictures of me eating those big slices of pizza at the garden. There's no other way to eat those, by the way. You have to throw your head back and eat them like a snake. I know someone's going to Photoshop that. It sucks. I wish he hadn't posted that. But that's the only way you can eat those slices of pizza.
Get to work.
Yep.
It's on Twitter.
Yeah, it's the only way you can do it.
Let's meme that if we could. Anyway, that's Triple Play. 617-779-7937. Under 10.5 napkins in Arcan's car. I don't believe it. Does that include the used ones that are crumpled up under your seat? I bet not. We'll continue with your feedback coming up. Jaylen Brown.
It does not.
Obviously.
Happy napkins.
The big. They're happy tears is what they are. Happy napkins.
Jaylen pulling a Reese McGuire.
Jaylen Brown is the big story today in Boston, and we've talked about it a lot. We're going to take a quick pivot, a quick one, to the Patriots and Bill Belichick. Has Bill lost the team? It feels like we have some evidence building that Bill has lost the team. I want to get to that with all your Jaylen Brown and Celtics phone calls coming up at 617-779-7937. We'll do that next.
Mike Milbury joins the Greg Hill Show every Thursday morning at 8:20. Brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, John's Sewer and Drain Cleaning, and Kentucky Owl, the wise man, straight bourbon whiskey. Milbury, 8:20, Thursday mornings on WEEI.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.